This is Icon Art Radio. I'm Bill Teeple, and I'm here with Alan Cobb, my co-host, and we're on KRUU FM 100.1 on your dial. And we're here with Madeline Desjolais, whose show opens at Icon Gallery on December 7th, 2012, and continues through January 26, 2013. If you're listening to this in the future as a repeat, now you'll have missed the show. But if you're listening to it present time on the air, then we invite you to come to Icon Gallery and see this really special show with Madeline Desjolais and Jillian Brown. So we did a show with Jill last week where you talked about putting this show together, and you talked quite a bit about the techniques you use to create the layered 2D pieces, but you are just now, before this show began to be taped, talking about these three-dimensional installation pieces you're doing, and how what I found fascinating was that the way it's unfolding, and as you put it together, it's just a bit as much of a surprise to you how it's coming out as to anyone. Yeah. And so talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's surprise. It continuously surprises me. Last night, I put elements of a piece. The piece is walking on water, walking through fire, but yet as miraculous as anthropomorphic this essence is, there's anchors attached to these shoes. So even though this being can walk on water, walk on fire, the anchor stops them from really moving the way they'd like to. So that's the counterpoint. I do like to put counterpoints into the work, if possible. So these are these wonderful shoes that I decided I was tired of using the computer, that I was going to, I use fabric a lot. I was going to just make the pattern myself on the fabric. And it's a classical kind of Chinese pattern with just ellipses and one after another, and on this wonderful lime green silk, or actually it's a celadon green silk, and it looks Italian. So beautiful looking. And again, another surprise. I had no idea what this would look like. And so these shoes, some are closed, some are open, are filled with wonderful curled up items that look kind of like flowers, but they're not. They're very textural and very sensual. A lot of the work I do has a sensuality to it that's very important to me. The level of feeling is how I express myself best. I mean, I can go into concepts and this.
Well, you
and
said in your press release, or the press release you put together, you sent me a quote and you talked about it's all happening on the feeling level, and it's only later at the end or even afterwards that you sort of analyze and intellectualize about what this all means. Very interesting.
Yeah. No, I don't start out with any of that. I guess you would say to be very trite about this whole thing, to follow your muse. You know, I just take orders, basically. And especially in this show, there was a time I was struggling a lot, but then like the dam broke and the waters burst open and, you know, the heavens parted and the ceiling parted, and there was like, you can do anything you want, just go for it. You know, that was the message. Oh. For me.
Well, and it sounded from what you said in your quote that this was kind of a breakthrough, a major breakthrough for you, that you feel like the work has gone to a place that it had never gone before.
No.
And you've been making art for some time now.
For a very long time. And, you know, sometimes I wonder how I got as far as I got without this kind of freedom that I have now. And maybe it has to do with the fact that I don't have a huge, huge overhead to support, and that I don't own a house, so I don't have to mow the lawn or, you know, fix the shingles or the roof, or, you know, I just am free of all that stuff. But this particular freedom came, I mean, it was a night, if you really want to know, it was a night when it was the first Friday, and it was the last one, was it November? It was either October or November, probably, I don't know which one. It was when you had the auction. Was that November?
Well, both. No, October, November.
Oh, no, it was October.
Yeah.
And I was at my wit's end. Alan saw me that night. And it was like I walked across the square from another fundraiser, and I went into your gallery, and I saw one piece that was painted by Inga Frick, who is also a new artist in town who's fantastic. And it had such freedom in it and such life. And what she told me afterwards is she made that piece after she had almost died by falling out of a window. And so that entire, that experience of, you know, like having one's life saved and renewed just by, you know, by coincidence, you know, the window ledge caught her. If it hadn't caught her, she would have fallen out of a window and died. But she was so stoked, you know, her energy was so alive. She had to do this and make this piece. And, you know, I
know, I
didn't
the piece,
really
and it's
know
fantastic.
That.
It's one of the best pieces in the show.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And I saw that piece, and that was the turning point for me. And, you know, I told her that story, and she said, you know, that kind of energy that I had then happens once in a while, and the thing is to have it happen as often as possible. And I have to say that since I had that experience, I've had those experiences more and more often, and they aren't stopping. And I can't wait to, you know, continue working, but, you know, here's the show, and I have to make the linen backings, and I have to, you know, do all the grunt work. If I had a staff, I'd have them all doing that, and I'd be in the kind of a studio that I have. So what I was saying about in the beginning about those shoes that had the anchors and the burning I took them out of the water and I put them down flat. And as I put them down flat, they're fishing components that are attached to the shoes holding the anchors, and they look like wires, but they have this very delicate hardware. And they started, you know, going in different directions, and the whole thing was so beautiful to look at. Now I'm thinking maybe what I'll do is I'll cut another piece of plexiglass that is the size of this whole thing, and I'll make another shoe thing to float on the water with the anchors, because this is just amazing. And then we'll cast shadows from the wires and the shoes and the anchors and, you know, onto the back wall. And it'll be just, see, I don't know how these things are going to be. I'm doing the installation in the window I'm doing. It's fun. It's a funny piece. But I did include the train piece that I did in 2006, which is a progression of sorts, but it's not the kind of progression that I'm doing now. Even though they're separate segments, I made it just blend into one. It's the train, you know, boom, 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 boom.
This is a very long horizontal piece.
It's the horizontal piece. It'll be in the window. And at the end of the line, it's got these Buddhas that are kind of stopping the train. And there's also a baby Ganesh. So that's, you know, that's, I wanted that piece not only because it's Christmas and trains and all that, but I wanted the viewers to see the difference of what I was doing then. It's also an encaustic piece, but I did that in California, 2006. But that concept, as opposed to combined separate images. Now, because it's my nature to blend, You know, I did kind of blend the images together somewhat. So when you look at the new pieces, they do make a holistic statement. It is unified. But if you put your hands up and any part of that, you know, try to segment it, they hold up as separate image, as separate paintings or separate, you know, some of them are encaustic, some of them are using a gel medium, a translucent medium that's acrylic. There's a lot of drawing in all of them, and a lot of there's some painting. There's quite a bit of painting. One of them is gouache, a gouache piece that'll be in one of the corners. And this is the first time I've used gouache actually, and I love it. Again, another.
And for the listening audience, yeah, gouache is opaque watercolor. Basically.
Yeah, it's a heavier watercolor.
It's called body color, really.
Yeah.
It's a different technique, but it's that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It has a nice look, and that soft look of gouache probably integrates nicely with the kind of thing you do.
Yeah, this is a piece called Passports to Infinity, and it deals with a lot of reusing some of the imagery I used in the larger pieces, but everything looks like passport stamps, kind of, in a way, in a strange way. And then I also made these three-dimensional books. Those are vacuum-formed. That's my handmade paper days. And I put imagery and writing on those books, and then the piece in the window is called Looking for an Explanation. Because a lot of times people ask me, what does this writing mean? Or what does this mean? Or why are you using or this and that? And so what I'm going to do is refer them to the little girls in the window, because I have found objects, a lot of them. I have these dolls that I've recontextualized, and I've put my own wigs. I've completely torn off their dresses, their pinafores and stuff, and they're not dressed. But they're not, it's not... It's all fine. They're not nude either. They're not dressed, they're not nude. They're just there in their form, in their, you know, original form. And the other place that I've used the dolls that I've collected is in the back room, in the dark room. There will be an installation that will have, I'm very interested in levitation. So both the two-dimensional and three-dimensional pieces will have, that one piece will have the levitating. I used to call them infants, but now I call them individuals. Levitating individuals, because they really don't have the proportions of infants. And every time I say that, I think of vegetables.
My father had a, there was this guy who accosted him on the street in New York when he was on the way to work at the hospital one day, and this guy was a derelict or something, and he was just angry, and he came stumbling up to my dad and called him some name, and dad couldn't understand what he said, and dad said, I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you called me. And the guy said, you're nothing but an individual. And so that became kind of a weird euphemistic insult in our family.
You individual, you.
Yeah, don't call me an individual. Who are you calling an individual?
Oh, that's really funny.
There we go. So now
funny.
We have that.
So now we have suspended, we have levitating individuals.
Yeah. Well, you keep your family away.
Yeah.
Well... Yeah.
Now, let me say this. I'm going to break in here. Okay. So those people who have just tuned in will know who this ranting person is. It's actually an artist, so that makes it okay. It's Madeline Desjolais, and she's going to have a show at Icon Gallery opening December 7th. Of all this stuff you're hearing her talk about, this is going to be an artworks, 2D and three-dimensional installations at our galleries. And... I'm Bill Teeple, and I'm here with Alan Cobb, and this is KRU 100.1 FM, and it's Icon Art Radio.
And the show is December 7th, 2012.
Yeah.
And hopefully the dimensions will go further than 3D. Hopefully into four.
Multidimensional.
Multidimensional
experience at ICON.
You know, in the press release.
But it's so fun to hear you talk because it's it has to be creating like very interesting images in people's heads. Talk about this work you're going to do.
Yeah, I call them adventure.
Yeah.
I call it adventure work.
Absolutely.
You know, this is like it. Oh, and the other thing, I've been reading a lot of fiction after never reading. I haven't read fiction for maybe 30 years because I'm just into facts and philosophy and this and that. But I started reading fiction when Jill and I went to India to the Ayurveda clinic there. There's a lot of downtime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so there was a big library of books, and I started reading the story of Pi, the Adventures of Pi or something.
Yeah.
That was the first one I read, and they just made a movie out of it.
Yeah.
And that was it. I was gone, and I read everything I can in fiction. I think that had a lot to do with this work because it has a narrative thread going through it. One thing leads to another. And I think that's been very influential.
Mm-hmm. Well, fiction is an opportunity to be God.
Yes.
You know, you're creating within the boundaries of the whole mind instead of within the boundaries of some medium.
Yeah.
And so it really kind of opens the doors, and if you're lucky, they stay open.
Yeah, if you're lucky, it's just really a question of listening and remembering. If your memory kicks in of all the array of possibilities open, you know, it's so limitless. It's just so limitless.
Well, you're once again bringing up what we were discussing a little bit earlier when we talked about Inga almost falling out the window.
Yeah.
And now she felt like fully enlivened after that experience. And then she was saying, you want to try to repeat that experience as much as possible. And you were saying you're trying to do that now, and that's actually what I teach as a teacher.
That's beautiful.
Is to try to elevate people to the experience of being in love in the moment with reality and fully awake in it. And then any kind of remembering we can do to get us back there. And I find that when we start even just discussing it, but also through artwork is a way of remembering. And if the artist isn't just doing an artwork that is like a derivative piece of something already done, but the artwork is actually the attempt to create that high moment again for oneself and then deliver it to someone else. And I think that's what art's all about.
Well, I find that it happens spontaneously. If I try, I'm gone. I don't do it. I can't do it. I just don't know how.
But I think there's a kind of like relaxing into it.
Yeah.
And even, but I think we don't try to do it, but even just discussing it together, we start to come alive in that moment.
Yeah.
We start to be those who have always been here for eternity doing it again, you know, and awaken that.
That's the eternal influence of all that has been and all that will be.
And that's the remembering.
That's the remembering. And that's, Maharishi calls it Brahm. You know, I mean, it's a beautiful state to be in. And hopefully we'll all be there, just functioning beautifully. But one thing I was mentioning before we were recording was the displays of installations of the shoes that I'm doing. The shoes are anthropomorphic in nature. They imply that there's beings connected to those shoes, even though, you know, you can't see them. It's kind of evoking the invisible in a way. And the shadows from the shoes, some of the shoes are very, very open, fibrous. And those shadows will be really quite interesting. But again, I have no idea. But they will be on plexiglass in order to foster that experience. And some of the shoes will be on eggshells. You know, the notion of walking on eggshells. I have people all over Fairfield collecting green eggs for me. You know, they're always they're split. You know, they're not whole eggs. Mm-hmm. But that's how you can put them under the shoes. And I have so many photographs of shoes on eggs. But you know, I could have done a whole show of that. I actually only put one of those in your show.
Yeah.
But again, that's my insistence on doing things by hand before the photograph. I have a real investment in hand work, and I love it, and I'm never satisfied with a printed image of either a reproduction of my work or anything, because it lacks depth for me. It's flat. And so that's another thing. I started reusing my drawing and painting skills that I haven't used in a very long time. I've been very involved in handmade paper and encaustics and, you know, more craft-oriented things, although fine craft, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, there's a respect for that that's being done. And that was really, really exciting and fulfilling. And I think I was doing all that writing, all that drawings of writing, because I was missing drawing. I was missing it. And those came out without me having the faintest idea of what I was doing. Every once in a while, I would feel like doing it. And I never questioned. I just went and did it. And
it's kind of like automatic writing,
in
right?
In a way.
And now it's not actually saying anything?
It's called Beyond Words.
Right.
What it's saying is this is how this artist was feeling in that time.
Because that's what you get off of it.
That's
And they're
you get.
Very beautiful drawings.
Thank
I mean,
you.
It's like the best
Thank you.
Combination of drawing and calligraphy, you know.
So, yeah, and then I would scan those drawings and then reproduce them and print them either bigger or smaller or, you know, but they're, and so most of the work in, there's two pieces where it's my hand is right there in the show. And one of them is called Letters from the Prairie, A Letter from the Prairie. And that's another thing I've been interested in, being on the prairie here, you know, in Iowa, and bringing back the flora, and, you know, and then the vistas, the skies are unbelievable. I've never seen the skies. So it's that piece, and then the other piece, The Passports to Infinity, part of it is scanned and printed, but some of it is written right on there because the painting, the gouache paintings are on there. And, you know, most of the time, to tell you the truth, I ended up covering up the writing, even though I didn't want to. You'll see that in a piece called Incubation. A lot of things just had to be, even though I started out with some different idea, they just had a will of their own and a mind. And I said, fine.
Yeah, you can't.
Whatever.
Don't fight it.
You know, and it was just so much fun. It was really fun and very, very fulfilling for me because, you know, I wasn't sure I was ever going to make another work of art ever. And who knows?
I know you were kind of on that mode when you came to town.
Yeah, I was.
And I don't know if we mentioned in this show, but that you just moved. You moved to Fairfield 2.5 to 3 years ago.
Yeah, yes.
And all of these changes seem to have taken place. Well, you sort of created a vacuum by stopping, because you'd been making art for like many years.
Many, many years.
And in California.
Mm-hmm.
And then
moved
to Fairfield.
Gorgeous studio.
And
and so,
you've
going, yeah.
been going, the lid's been taken off, it looks like, and you're
yes.
in a new state of freedom, and it sounds great.
Yeah. And, you know, I was invited to do some shows in between this, but my real being and my whole heart weren't really in those pieces. It was like, okay, I'll give you this, I'll give you that. But and some of the, like the sled piece that was in
yeah.
was in a museum show, and that was something I made a while ago. So, yeah, it's exactly it. It's like, I start with my hand, either drawing or painting or fabric, making the shoes, or staging something with found objects, and then photographing, and then departing from the photograph quite quickly into drawing, painting mode. And then ending, like right now, I'm making the linen backings for a lot of these progression pieces that I'm describing. And thank God for Chris Johnson. He gave me a space in the Telegroup building to build these things in the old cafe there.
Oh, yeah.
Where my daughter worked a long time ago. And I have that space to do. Otherwise, I couldn't have done it where I am right now. So, you know, everything's going to come together almost at the same time, you know.
Well, we're really looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too.
I think Fairfield has this effect on artists frequently.
Yeah.
That they kind of shift their focus, maybe just the tiniest little bit, but in the direction of letting it happen instead of making it happen.
Yeah.
And you get energy from it when you let it happen, and so it's not hard to make it happen at that point. But if you're not letting it happen, then it takes a tremendous amount of energy to make it happen.
Yes.
And a lot of artists get burned out, and I think when they come here, they stop worrying about it and discover that it takes care of itself. You know?
Yeah, it really does.
It wants to be expressed.
Yeah.
And so it does, and if you're there and you're ready, willing, and able, then
yeah,
out it comes, and you get to be the artist.
Well, you know, what are you, after all, except a human with a, what do they say? You're a human being having a spiritual being having a human experience.
Yes, right.
And that's it. I mean, spirituality has always played a huge role. And it's what I'm interested in the most of anything.
So let me just say that we've been interviewing Madeleine Desjolais on Icon Art Radio, and it's her show opens December 7th, 2012 at Icon Gallery. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. It's been wonderful.
You've been listening to Icon Art Radio, a production of Iowa Contemporary Art, Fairfield.